on Feel the Noise. It's time for Ken, Mark, and John to come out of the tunnel and once again form the Sports Authorities right here on the new CKIW Radio 76.
Oh yay! It is a time once again for the Sports Authorities to be here and not running over your cord. So, welcome to Studio B. John Sarver here with the Sports Authorities, including the Super CPA, Ken Pocket. Hiya, Kenny.
Hi, John. Hello to everyone out there listening to us this evening or some other time.
True that. And our Sport Director, Mark Milicek. Hiya, Mark.
Hi, John. Hi, Kenny. Hi, everybody out there, and get ready.
Well, here's the big thing. We haven't seen you guys in a little bit. We are back in the studio, not on the road, but now we can go on the road, which is kind of fun now.
On the road again.
That's true, too. So, here it is. We are not bought and paid for it by anybody, so we can tell you exactly how it goes.
And we do. And but you can pay us if you
that's
want.
That's true. Yeah. Money is up if you so desire, for so. Let's see, we don't have the FCC here, we have the DMCA, so sometimes the language gets a little salty, too damn bad. Everything that we talk about is our own opinion, so you can't sue us anyways.
But since you didn't send us any money, you're not getting any money.
That's true. We are authorities, not experts. That makes us better than anybody that you see on ESPN.
We have the highest standards.
That's right. So you want to envy us, you want to be us. As we be us. So, that everything? I think that's the warm-up.
Real people, not actors.
That's true, too. So, what happens is that Mark makes these big books every week for us, and this is where we get to discuss things that we normally don't get a chance to talk about. And so today, in the expanded format, we are going to talk about every single thing unless the clock runs out on us. So, Mac. Oh, yeah. Did you see that thing about Murphy? Yikes.
Oh, Joe Murphy.
Yeah. Number one draft choice from the Detroit Red Wings.
Yep. And he's now
Out of Michigan State.
Yep. Says Al.
Al Kaline shows up. He's a fifth Beatle tonight.
Yep. And now he's homeless.
Yeah, man. Can you imagine? What was the point with that? What was the... Well, I mean, this is going to be a big thing on TSN tomorrow, right?
Yep. On TSN Sports Center.
Which is...
A little different than the American version of Sports Center.
Yup. Yeah, this one actually has something to watch. Yup.
Yeah. So, they said that they... somebody recorded a video of Joe Murphy living in Kenora, Ontario, which is located just north of the Minnesota border. And they said it's Joe Murphy. They identified him as Joe Murphy living on the streets.
Wow.
Even more of a wow.
He had quite a career. Playing hockey.
He played for a lot of teams, the Red Wings, the Oilers. He actually won a Stanley Cup with the Oilers.
Yeah, his name is on the cup.
Yep.
He won a national title with Michigan State, too.
Yes, he did. And he also played for the Blackhawks, St. Louis, San Jose, Boston, the Washington Capitals.
Got around.
Yes, he did.
Got extremely around.
Now he's in Kenora.
Now he's in Kenora. He also had a lawsuit against the NHL for concussions that he didn't win. So maybe...
How could he have won? I mean, what did he sue for?
That the NHL didn't identify the concussions Yeah, you know, like the NFL thing. You know, they didn't identify it and whatever. So there's people are thinking that the reason why maybe he's homeless is because the concussions and wasn't clearly thinking and blew all his money and whatever, and that's why he's living on the streets.
How much money did he ever have?
Well, I mean, being a first-round draft choice, he got the top money when he came out of college.
And he had a long career.
Yeah, I mean, he started with the Wings in 86, and he played all the way to 2001.
2001?
Yeah, with the Capitals.
Wow.
So he played 15 years.
Wow, really?
Yep.
I mean, he was supposed to be a big-deal talent, but I always remember him bubbling under the top 100. I don't remember him to being a, you know, I mean, he's AAA ball, but I don't ever remember.
Yeah, he was never a, I don't know.
Never a star.
He was never a star, but he scored 233 goals in his career, 528 points, led his whatever teams he played for. He led his team twice in scoring, whatever teams those were, you know, in those 15 years. So, I mean, that's not...
No Hall of Fame numbers.
No, that's definitely not Hall of Fame numbers.
Wow, that's weird. I mean, down to the point where if it can happen there, it can happen anywhere. New York. But, I mean, try to sue the NHL for concussions. You know, every time they try to do that, I mean, the NFL, yeah, maybe. You know? Because they were so cavalier with all their stuff. The NFL is just like, we know we got a problem. We ain't going to talk about it. You know, it's like, all right, now we're really going to move on it. Because really, you think about it, in hockey, maybe not so much, but football, every play, you got to crunch ahead.
Yeah.
And especially if you're on the line, you're doing nothing but, you know, HIC, HIC numbers, which head injury counts, you know. I mean, all the things that you get, I mean, especially when you're starting out from like sixth grade forward, you know, there's... Boy, if you're anywhere in football right now, especially in the NFL or something, man, how difficult is it for you to sell the product? You know, you come out, you tell, I mean, today I was at the old barber shop, surprisingly enough, and they were talking about, well, you know, them taking a knee. Well, you know, ESPN isn't showing the greatest anthem of all over the earth, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I told them, shut the fuck up, keep politics out of it, play the game.
Oop.
Well... Now that was a little too boisterous, but
that's why your hair looks like it does.
Yeah, you cut half of it. It was like, oh damn, I forgot. These are like older guys and shit. And they don't
remember. Don't get into an argument with a guy holding a razor.
True and that. Scissors.
Yeah. However, what happened was it's like the incredible amount of misinformation of what that whole nine yards is all about.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, they shouldn't show Kaepernick like ass. He hasn't played the league for years, you know. All right, good idea. Don't show him, you know. This season, whoops, there goes that Viagra. This season, when they have him, you know, just, you know, don't show him. It's so ignorant, you know. It's, look, you got some asshole. What, since when does a politician tell you what sport to like and which one not? Just for something that was drummed up out of thin air, had nothing to do with the facts, and you guys are like, yup.
And the other thing is, do we really want corporations screwing around with our free speech? I mean, seriously. Corporations, you know, like the ESPN, the NFL. I mean, don't people have a right to speak? I mean, yeah, to a certain extent, you can say, well, you know, they
control. Oh, about showing not the anthem?
I mean, you really want to empower corporations. If we're not comfortable with the government screwing around with the free speech, are we really that comfortable with corporations messing with it?
Well, it's a wiener move because they go, well, we're not going to get anybody mad because we're not going to show anybody. You know, and that way it's supposed to, like, protect everybody. You know, well, if you don't see it, it doesn't happen. And then you got nothing to bitch about. But it's a wiener move. It really is. I mean, is ESPN not going to show the national anthem for any hockey game or rodeo or whatever else they may have? And if so facto, then they're just played right into Trump's hands again. You know? It's like, look, the guy is going to be, as you very well said it, Kenny, pop the popcorn.
Yeah.
Here we go. This fuck's going down. big time. And now all you have to do is sit back and relax and watch it happen. And to have some guy tell you what to like and what not to like, and you asshole 33%er is going, yup, it's against the veterans. Name one veteran that came out and said anything about this. Name one. Name one veteran that says, this is, you know, they're protesting against me. Name one. But you can't. But what you can do is name an incredibly bad contract for Dylan Larkin. Mac? But first, I will give you the sound of the Red Wing.
And then we have to have the sound of the Ken Holland.
Oh.
There we go.
There it is. There you are. Let's throw that money around, shall we, Mark?
Yeah, that good old Dylan Larkin hasn't shown a whole lot the last year and a half, and Dylan Larkin locks up a 5-year contract worth $30.5 million.
That's incredible for 5 years. Well, that'll take him to 27 into his prime.
Yep, that averages $6.1 million, which...
It's a nice size hit.
Well, yeah. Yeah, for a guy that really hasn't shown a whole lot the past year and a half.
What is his attraction? I mean, he was on a shit team, and so he was like the newest, shiniest toy a couple of years ago. And it was like, well, this guy's got some potential. Last year, he flattened out big.
Yep.
You know, and you're going to be on a shit team.
Yes.
So the reason to give you $30 million when you should probably be saving the pennies is what? You know, would that not make better sense?
Here's the thing, too. With the Red Wings, you know, they had the 25-year run making the playoffs. Now it's been, what, 2 years now they haven't? But where's the rebuild?
It's the rebuild on the fly.
I don't see the rebuild. I mean, you're dragging Zetterberg's carcass around, although it looks like he might be done.
Right.
Cronwall, you're hanging on to him for another year.
This is Zetterberg's last year, isn't it?
He's got 3 more years.
Shoes!
But
injury.
Looks like he might be done.
But the thing about it is, his last 2 years of that contract, he only gets paid $1 million a year.
Yeah, because
buy him out. Peace out.
But the cap hits bigger because they front-loaded the contract.
Right.
Okay, but they can get cap relief if they put him on long-term IR.
Right.
And right now, he's not ready to go.
Right, and do you see the way the Red Wings are working this? Like, the back hurts. The back hurts.
You better. The back
is not doing well. They're already working this to the long-term IR side of it already.
Yep.
Hurry. You know, hurry. I mean, really, we'll look the other way. We'll pay you your $1 million. But, I mean, how much of a salary cap is it if he has 2 years of bad back?
We'd have to look that up.
Well, I think it doesn't count against the cap at all, then.
Everything goes against long-term IR.
It's like the Franzen
thing. Yeah.
Then here's your $2 million. Go to Sweden for 2 years. Put ice on that back on occasion. Don't be seen lifting a V8 engine out of your car with your hands, you know.
Don't go dog sledding like that Huey Krupp.
Yeah. Don't be banging like fat women or something to kill your back. Don't show that your back is healthy, you know. And we'll give you $2 million to sit down and watch the Beverly Hillbillies for the next 2 years.
But see, the thing about it is, the long-term IR money, if you give out any bonuses, the long-term IR money, the bonus money can only be used so far after the fact when you give out bonus money.
Bonus for who?
Like if Dylan Larkin gets any bonus money or any...
incentives?
Like he gets a signing bonuses and stuff like that. If you give out any signing bonuses, that can only be used so much toward the long-term IR money.
All right, I'm lost.
There's a loophole with that long-term IR money.
For the team or for the league?
For the team.
So...
I'm going to have to look this up, but I was reading something on the Maple Leaf site that they have Nathan Horton on long-term IR, but they have two contracts that they have to sign. They have Nylander and another guy, and something about any signing bonuses or any bonuses that they give in the contracts have something to do that they can only keep long-term IR money so long that the bonus money has something to do with that long-term IR money. So I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look that up. So the way teams are doing what they're doing now is they're trying to trade that long-term IR money off of their books, like they did with Datsyuk. The Red Wings traded the long-term IR money.
But that wasn't IR, though. He just left.
Right, yeah.
But because they signed a contract.
Right.
Yeah. They were stuck on the...
What they're trying to do is trade that dead money off of their contracts, because that dead money has something to do with their books or something.
Okay, but if you're Los Angeles, why would you take that?
Because they get draft choices and prospects.
Yeah. Like with Phoenix, what they did with Datsyuk.
Right, because see, Arizona
moved up in the draft.
Up in the draft, and plus Arizona is like at the bottom of the salary cap.
Yeah.
The salary cap is $80 million. Arizona is like at $45 million.
Wow. So they're out there churning all these deals.
Because they can take that extra money.
I got you now.
To get those extra picks and extra draft choices and all that stuff like that, because they can weasel that money in with their regular money.
Wouldn't it make sense then for Detroit to just make a $40 million payroll and then do that same? I mean, why would it make sense for a bottom feeder team to jettison money like crazy and do that same walk? We have $40 million, and we'll take whatever garbage you got, and we'll go in the draft higher, 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 and it's no skin off our nose, because we know we got a shit team already, you know? Yeah. So why give somebody $30 million, you know?
And because you're Ken Holland?
I'll do it.
Because you have general managers that just keep shelling money out, and can never get down below... You know, they're always right up on that salary cap to where they have no wiggle room.
See, one thing about sports management, they tend to not be...
management?
They're not good accountants.
Brain surgeons. They're not necessarily brain surgeons. Most of these guys don't think outside the box. That's why in baseball they're all freaking out, because what Tampa's doing, first of all with the shift and now with the opener, you know, they could bring a relief pitcher in to start the game, goes once through the lineup, pull him out, bring another guy in. Okay, and they're freaking out. It's changing the game. It's changing the game. Well, then beat it.
I don't understand the shift. I don't understand the reason why people are so, the shift is ruining baseball. Why? You've done it all the time. It's just more pronounced, you know? Yeah. Now you're really bringing people over. But I think it was something either you said, Mark, or Kenny did a couple of weeks ago. Then hit the ball where the people ain't.
Yeah,
hit
the ball the other way.
You know, if you're really a good hitter... You know, and yes, you show that you hit left field more often than right. Pull it. You know?
When I was a kid, we were always taught to hit the ball to all fields.
Right, go up the middle. Hit the ball up the middle.
Well, yeah, you try to hit the ball up the middle, but if you have a guy on first and you're hitting running, you know, the guy's going to second base, what do? You hit behind the runner.
Right.
We were taught to do that.
Yeah.
So it's like... If you have three guys on the left side of the infield and one guy on the right side of the infield, where do you try to hit the ball? You hit the ball to the right field. You hit the ball to the right field.
The Kansas City Royals, they had a hitting coach, Charlie Lau.
Yeah.
And he was the guru. He was the guru that made so many hitters so much better on that team. George Brett, Amos Otis. I mean, you get down the list.
Jesus.
I mean, it was just incredible.
Yeah, who was the second big? White.
Yeah, Frank White.
Frank White, yeah.
And then... Patek was the shortstop.
Patek, yeah.
Yeah, but you could get Charlie Lau's videos, too. I mean, they always show the guy, like, swinging his hips, and it's like, Charlie, what you doing? You know, how are we making money here?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, somehow, some way, when you get to the batter's box, if you swing your hips, you know, then you'd have, like, some kind of momentum rhythm, so when the ball's hit, but you look like a toot, you know? Tootie Fruity out Rudy.
I mean,
now we've got all these... Hitting coaches teaching these guys what you want to do is you want to elevate the ball. Pull it, elevate it, hit it over the wall. So you got these guys uppercutting. now the pitchers are starting to adapt. Now they're starting to throw some high heat, and they can't catch up to it because right. everyone's trying to uppercut the.
And you can't elevate a ball that's up here.
That's right. You know, up here meaning
chest level,
where they can see. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes it kind of interesting. But what the, as Charlie had a theory, I can't think of a batting coach nowadays that has one.
No.
You know, certainly not on your Detroit Tigers. It's just like, oh, hit the ball.
Not Lloyd. Hell no, Lloyd.
Legendary Lloyd.
Well, the Tigers are a train wreck, though, offensively. They're undisciplined. They swing at all kinds of... I think they lead the league in swings at pitches outside the strike zone. Okay? They're chasing everything.
You're starting Matuk. Yeah. You know, what does that tell you alone? You know, it's... there. Do you think... Now, here's a question I'll start with Mark and Kenny. Jump on in. Do you think that there is an A-B... Detroit Tiger team being from opening day to like Cincinnati and Cincinnati to now?
It's night and day.
What happened? It was your pitching coach went bye-bye and everything went to shit.
Yes.
You know, on one kind of thing that was kind of said and the guy wasn't popular anyways.
Yeah.
Was he not popular anyways or were they, are you trying to save your ass? You know, because really, you see the Tigers now, they scuffle. Nobody cares. They're not going to make 3 million fans for the first time since 2002. You know, you might as well bring back Trammell. You know,
they might not make a million fans.
It was amazing that they had. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought 3 million was awful high.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, especially when you've been out of it since when? You know,
April.
There is something about this team now that doesn't give a damn. And before, in the beginning, it was like, well, we're going to try our damnedest. Okay, we know we got the ball against us, but we're going to really try. And they were interesting to watch. They were never out of it. Now it's like, you know, you almost start the opening inning with 3-0.
But the problem isn't the pitching per se. It's the hitting. The hitting is awful. And I look at it, I don't remember exactly when Candelario went out with the wrist. But he hasn't hit for shit since then.
That was like early June.
Early June, I think, yeah. Yeah, and that's about when they started to slide, because about mid-June-ish, they were ready, you know, one game below 500, they go to Cincinnati, and the floor drops out.
Yeah, I mean, there was something about that Cincinnati, and there was only, like, what, three games?
Two.
Two-game series.
Two there, and then three in Cleveland.
Yeah, which should never have turned anything around. They should have been almost at that time tied with Cleveland, and Cincinnati was, like, the floor of the major leagues at that time. So that should have been an easy eat, and blew their mind.
Cincinnati's played very good ball over the last 2 months.
Yeah, then, I mean now, I should say,
well, I mean,
not then.
And back then, I mean, we're starting to roll.
Starting, so, but Detroit was already rolling.
But the point is, though, it doesn't really matter if you look at the Cleveland or the Cincinnati or when they came back home to Oakland. My God, what a travesty that was. They dropped all four games here. They've been a terrible road team. Okay, to lose at home... and to lose the way they did, oh! So I just look at that and I go,
"There's no fight left."
What happened? You know, it's the hitting. The hitting's been terrible.
The hitting has been terrible.
And I think a lot of it goes back to Candelario stopped hitting.
Well,
what do you have left?
Well, that
Hicks is gone,
and they stopped manufacturing runs. They stopped running. They've stopped the hit and run. They've stopped, you know, when you
stop getting guys on base.
Well, but when they get the guys on base, you have to be proactive instead of reactive. You gotta try to make runs.
Absolutely right.
You gotta try to make the other team make mistakes. You just can't just go base to base to base to base. You gotta try to make the other team make mistakes.
I think Mark hits it right on the head. There's no running anymore.
No.
Before they used to like take off like no tomorrow. You know, now they don't have anybody. I mean, you had John Hicks in the beginning hitting lights out, like, way over his head. He is now done for the season. You know, and coming back, who cares? You know, I mean, you were trying to bring up, you know, when's the 40-man roster? 2 weeks?
First.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Leonis Martin, he was an effective hitter. He went out a couple times with a hamstring, and then they dealt him.
Yeah, I mean,
and then he just about died.
Yeah, well, he was a good top of the order guy.
Yes.
You know, get him on and he could run.
Who do you have now as a good leadoff hitter? I mean, who do you have?
Yikes. Matuk. Ducey.
Candelaria's been batting leadoff lately. And technically, he's not a leadoff batter.
Yeah, so, I mean, what do you got? I mean,
you wonder if Gardenhire just gave up.
Well, maybe they said, oh, okay, Gardy, we had our fun for 2 months.
Yeah,
you know, cool. Now let's slide.
Yeah.
Maybe he made a call to assholeness.
Which one?
Brad.
Oh,
Brad.
Hey, we're
winning too many games here. Can you give me some suggestions?
Hey, did you leave a lineup in the copier? Can I use one of those?
And he says, tell you what. He says, you know what? He says, Lloyd is your hitting coach, right? Have him work with your hitters. Have him work with the hitters.
And the thing about it is now, Victor is hitting really good, and there's nobody on base.
Yeah.
You can't even get a guy on base for him to knock in.
Well, it's Victor. Well, Victor is going to be good for about 8 days. And then you'll see the back to being Victor.
No, but what I'm saying is he's batting like 350 the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. The problem is now you get nobody on base for him to knock in. I mean, he's hitting really well. But now you got the first 4 or 5 guys in the lineup. They might as well be popping popcorn for Trump.
Yeah.
Well, look, coming into this year, we pretty much knew that this team was dog food, okay?
They're selling popcorn.
Yeah. 4 guys popping popcorn.
Yeah.
Okay.
They might as well be up in the stands selling it, whatever, because none of them are getting on base anymore.
But we knew this team coming in was going to be dog food. Okay. Yeah. And they played over their heads for about 2.5 months or so, and then it kind of they got shown up.
And now they're playing like now they're back to where they're supposed to be.
And yeah, I mean the bottom dropped out. They were 1 game below 500. They're 23 below now. Whoa!
And they keep up. They're going to be like Baltimore. Well, they won't get as bad as Baltimore.
No. But
can they catch Kansas City?
No.
I sure as hell hope not.
No, because Kansas City and Baltimore were right there.
Even. Oh, okay.
So,
so can they catch like Kansas City and Baltimore?
No. I hope not. No.
Yeah, I don't think they could catch Chicago either.
Really?
Yeah. So Chicago's like 7 behind them.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, what gives you any kind of hope?
Chicago's not going to win very many games.
But you see Detroit, and you see them, you know, getting whumped by the Twins for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
You know, the Twins are no great shakes.
When Eddie Rosario hits a...
wins the game with home runs.
He's a hitter. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. He's certified.
Yeah.
Yeah. But 80 years ago.
Yeah, but that he did hit a good pitch on that for a home run.
Yeah. But still, I mean, now you're almost rooting against the Tigers.
Yeah.
You know, now just lose, boys. Don't have a big September and blow all your draft choices.
Well, here's the thing. To root against them, you actually have to pay attention.
To root, yeah.
God, that's so hard to do now.
It's
a terrible team to watch.
It's no secret that for the sports authorities, this summertime you try to make it through, you know. And then comes the fall, all the majors are back, everything's rocking, here we go, lots to talk about. In reality, we don't have the Wings to talk about, we don't have the Pistons to talk about.
Or the
Maple
Leafs.
Do we have... Trying to sneak that one in. Getting into preseason form is our sport director, Mark Milicek. But you don't have...
you don't really have the Lions to talk about yet?
That's what I was going to say. Well, are we going to, though?
I don't know. They don't look so good.
They don't look very good, no.
Dear Patricia, no. I mean, I'm not seeing nothing here, kids.
Well, they're still not playing all of their starters, but still, if that's what they have for backups, the starters better not get hurt.
Yeah, but I don't even like Patricia is the white Cadwell. I'm not seeing anything here. Nothing here. You know, I'm seeing some guy who has a very inflated self, you know. I mean, there's just something... I mean, even the way he treats the media, the way he treats anybody, you ask him a question, he thinks he's Belichick. No, dude, you have never even got to breathe that air yet. You know, you haven't won anything yet, you know. So you kind of go, why are you trying to be this tough guy? I mean, so far you suck. There's nothing that gives you hope, you know. And they go, well, it's only preseason, only preseason. Okay, game three in a couple of days. This is the pivot.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you couldn't beat the Giants. Wow. Okay.
So as we're transitioning now from baseball to football, and we're suffering through this period where we don't have much to talk about, you're looking ahead going, hey, guys.
Yeah. When's it going to be summer again? When can we talk about NASCAR?
And the way things were going, the Lions were supposed to be our hope.
Yeah.
Because
for a couple of years now.
The Pistons really don't have a whole lot. The Red Wings really don't have a whole lot. And everybody was putting all their eggs in the basket of the Lions. And the Lions, okay, they haven't showed nothing yet.
Yeah, well, considering all your other major teams in Detroit are rebuilding. Uh-huh. And so you figure, well, the Lions, they've never rebuilt.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you think the Pistons are rebuilding? You think the Lions are rebuilding? Do the Lions look like a team rebuilding? Do the Red Wings look like they're rebuilding?
Yeah, look at the draft choice that Detroit got. I want to see the stuff that Detroit got out of this draft. I want to see their two number ones start this year. I mean, so far we're not hearing any of that. Yeah. But boy, what's holding you back?
I got to say this, too. I saw an article this last week. They said that one of the rating services said that the Tigers are now, their minor league system is now 14th.
Out of 30.
14th out of 30, okay?
Because of Erie?
Because they came from 30th.
Wow.
And they've been adding all these prospects into the system, and it's moved them up to, like,
mediocre?
14th, yeah.
Okay, great.
They're competitive.
Oh, that C word.
Guy goes through the list of the top 10 prospects. He says there's no potential ace there.
What happened to that number one dude?
He projects out as a middle of the order, middle of the rotation guy.
The number one draft pick?
None of these guys that they have are projected to be another Verlander.
Wow. Because that number one guy was supposed to be able to start right now on any team.
Bullshit.
You could take him right to the top. Nope. He had a curveball. It's major league style.
He got lit up.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. So let's temper our expectations here. It's going to take a while, okay? And they have to fill. I mean, their minor league system isn't filled with prospects. You've added a lot of prospects, but it's not filled up. It's going to take another couple years to get to that point. And besides, when you're bringing these guys in, a lot of these guys are 18, 19 years old. They're 3, 4, 5 years away from tasting the major leagues, let alone getting some experience there and becoming effective major leaguers. Okay? This is a long process, and you start from zero. That's why it was so damaging. The Tigers, they waited like 1 or 2 years too late to start the rebuild, really dug the hole deep.
Yeah, and then financially kicked their own asses.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah. So now you're trying to start from zero. You didn't have any of the analytics set up. You didn't have a lot of things set up, the infrastructure for really doing a good job in terms of doing a rebuild. So you're basically looking at a hole in the ground saying, I imagine a skyscraper. You have a hole in the ground.
You've dug the foundation.
Yeah, I mean, you've dug the hole. Right. You can put a foundation in there, but all you have right now is a hole. And that's where they started from.
I want to see Erie, you know. Because Erie is supposed to be where the action's at.
And they've just gone through, and there was like 10 guys that they promoted in different places.
And the reason why this happened is because of what? All those stupid-ass contracts they gave out for how many years?
Because of the guy that they cut the insignia in the lawn for, Mr. I.
That's right.
Here I am.
Yeah. All those contracts put them so far behind to where now they have to start from basically from zero.
Well, now, something else I looked up. The first move in the rebuild was when they traded Cameron Maven. Okay? That was back 12 seasons ago. Mr. I died February 17th, just about the time when they started this. They traded Maven, and they got this Alcantara guy that now has come up, and he's pitching pretty well in the bullpen. That was the first move in the rebuild. But because they waited so long into the offseason because Mr. I was still around, you're ready for spring training in February. They really couldn't move any of these guys until you get to the trade deadline last year, and that's when they really blew it up. So it really, they were in a holding pattern. They signed these big-ass contracts, then they're stuck there in a holding pattern, and the first move they did was the only one they could, which is they moved Maben, got this guy back, and created a hole in center field, which killed the team last year. Frankly, it was one of the things that killed the team. Remember, they were trying Tyler Collins out there. They were talking about Anthony Gose.
Yeah, but Tyler Collins was supposed to come, like, be the new Frank Howard. He was just supposed to come in and just power. It's like, yeah, nice try. And then somehow for Lemony Snicket's, we got the 30th best side armor from Oakland. You know, 30th best.
Yeah. 30th in their system.
In their system.
Yeah.
And their system is where? Nowhere
but that's
number
okay,
three.
Because we got two guys.
Yeah, so it's great. So we got two instead of one.
We still have another guy yet to come in.
Oh, boy.
And he's probably their number two prospect, right?
Could be Cash. Yeah.
There's a couple of zeros after that, too, though. 200.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, in single A. Right? I mean, if you're excited about having... I'm trying to think. Was Lasher a side armor? I'm trying to remember the last Detroit side armor we had.
Well, Coleman's a side armor.
Mm.
It was Coleman.
Coleman, the guy from Kansas City.
Yeah.
Okay, but...
The last one we had? Oh, I can picture the guy.
Yeah, that's what I thought. No, not Fred Lasher. My God, no. Jeez. Yeah, that's going back. Back. Might as well get Joe Sparma back up there.
Yep.
Do you realize, of the 68 Tigers, there was an expansion in 69. Do you know who got mooted over? Who got picked out of Detroit? Tick. I'll give you an alarm.
Don Wirt?
Close.
Ray Oiler.
There you go. Was. Ray Oiler. Where'd he go?
Seattle.
Very good. Well done. And what'd he hit?
Probably nothing. 180.
160. I mean, who picked them? How did you do this? I mean, I don't remember an expansion. I mean, really, it always seems like Detroit teams get hosed. I mean, the Bad Boys, these guys, whenever Detroit wins a championship, the following year there's an expansion and you lose somebody.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm thinking, okay.
Seattle had to have that vacuum cleaner shortstop.
He
couldn't hit a watermelon?
He was good in the field. Actually, he was very good in the field. He just could. I mean, I can't imagine being in the majors hitting 160, you know, and then wanting to get picked. I mean, Don Wirt, I don't think it was any better. I don't even think he hit two.
No, he probably didn't.
But they were ice cream on that side. I mean, they were tight. You know, when you had to look past them to go, okay, you're great in the field, we'll make up the hitting somewhere else. You know, but then again, you had only that 68 lineup. Whee! I mean, all your outfielders can hit. Your first baseman could hit. Your second baseman was one of the best leadoff guys ever. You know, I mean...
Catcher could hit.
Absolutely. I mean, that was your pitchers and your shortstop and third baseman could not hit, you know, yet you had a pitching staff. I mean, all the way down to Joe Sparma, I mean, who was your fourth, you know, it was like, I'm trying to think who was Earl Wilson, and then McLean Lowlich, Sparma, Fred Gladding, you know, for those who are in Fred Gladding's shoes, have some glasses.
And then if they needed a spot starter, he used Pat Thompson.
Yeah, didn't they have Heller at that time? I'm trying to think who your reliever was. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Because I'm trying to think.
But they didn't have closers back then.
You didn't need them. If you did, you were embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, you did your nine and go. I'm trying to think, even on your bench, you know, with Gates Brown, you know, who could play an occasional left field, you know. I mean, you had firepower all the way through that lineup when healthy. And these guys weren't not healthy. So that's how you finally come to, you bring Mickey Stanley into shortstop. You know, he could be almost as good, you know, but could hit. So you have yet another firepower. You're only making up for Don Wirt. And that's a great balance. You know, because if you got somebody who can shut down the corner, whee, you're in like Flynn, man. I think, and the funny thing is that McAuliffe was extremely underrated as a second baseman.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, all the way down to the funny hitting stances and all that stuff. But, I mean, he could, you never heard of a problem there.
None.
You know, and all the way down, because I'm trying to think, who was the substitute first baseman? If it wasn't Norm Cash, it was who? You know?
Who's on first?
True that, because I'm thinking of the 25 guys, 26 guys, you know, or your 35-man roster on your 68 Tigers, you know. What we should do is we should call down to the intern pool on the lower floor and have them bounce up some stats for us.
That's right.
You know, bring them up to our computer here so we can see who exactly was on the 68 Tigers.
Tell them to put the pizza down and get to work.
The Little Caesars.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, guys, we don't have to buy that anymore. We don't care. You know.
Yeah, you guys can move up the Jets down there,
okay? Jets. Good God, Jets. I'm trying to think, what's some really decent pizza anymore?
They're all franchise now, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, you get the ones that, you know, Jets at $14 pie. It's like, that's not how it's supposed to be. Or $20, right. You know, Jesus God almighty. You know, so that's what we're trying to think. Because I always think of,
Alibi. Alibi's got a good pizza.
Green Latrine at one time was supposed to be a great pizza.
Yeah.
And I wasn't impressed. I was like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, back a couple of years ago. Well, more than a couple, but
yeah.
Being sarcastic, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, true. I mean, when they only had the place on 12 in John R.
Right.
You know, everybody used to flock to that place.
Yeah, but now they got the one where Clinton Township or something.
Yeah, 15 Mile and Hayes.
Yeah, I mean, being
then
kind of
got a
expensive.
Couple other ones too.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and you're kind of wondering why. You know. So, anyways, I'm trying to think who is your secondary first baseman. Could not be Gates.
No.
Matchek? No, too early.
Well, Andy Matthews, I don't know if he played first at all.
Did he make it through the 68 season?
Yeah.
And it was 67, because we traded for him from Milwaukee, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
To get him?
Played 31 games.
All right, at where?
It says corner infield.
All right, not third base then. I mean, he was too old to play third at the time. So, if you kind of go Mickey Stanley as your... Is there all around? Because it was Horton, Northrop, Kaline, wasn't it? In your outfield?
Matthews played six games at first, six games at third.
Third, really?
Yeah.
Then where did Stanley play?
He primarily played in the outfield, didn't he?
Well, that's right, but I'm trying to think, who did he platoon with?
Centerfield.
Okay, so with him and Northrop.
But Kaline was out a good chunk of the year with injury. No, he played 102 games. Had Horton and left, Stanley and center, Northrop and right.
Northrop and right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I always remember Kaline being in right, Northrop and center. Then who was the unsung heroes of the 68 Tigers? Price? You know?
Jim Price, yeah.
Good God.
Hit 174 that year.
What did Euler hit?
Oh, good. Let's look that one up. Ray Euler hit 135.
Oh, God.
That was way below the Mendoza line.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
That was a Ray Euler line.
Wow.
His on-base percentage, .213.
Then what was Euler?
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, what was Wirt, you should say?
Hit 200.
Wow.
His on-base was .258.
Wow.
Neither one of them even walked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just keep swinging at it, boys.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I don't get. It shows that Ray Euler played 111 games. 247 plate appearances.
Would they get a pinch hitter for him every time he came up?
You had two other shortstops on the roster, Tommy Matchek and Dick Pruszewski. Matchek played 80 games and Pruszewski 90. So they must have moved him in and out a lot.
What did Trixie hit?
156.
Good God.
And Matchek hit 203.
Could they not find anybody in shortstop that could throw it and hit a bat?
No.
My God, it's still a problem now. Oh, they still can't get a shortstop that can...
But who do they say played first base?
Cash.
Just Cash?
Yeah, that's...
That's the only person that ever played first base every game all season.
Yeah.
That's insane. Between him and Eddie Matthews played four.
Well, he played 127 games, but it doesn't say who else played first.
Yeah, because there had to have been... You could not have played every single game. I mean, between freehand, and I'm telling you, one of the biggest disappointments of my life, first time to go to Tiger Stadium in 68, thinking, wow, what is the first baseball game I ever was at? And it was Joe Sparma throwing to Jim Price. And it was like, we have no chance of winning here. Except for who pinched the clincher. Joe did. You know, loved Earl Wilson. I thought as a pitcher, that guy had it all together. You know? Nice windup, nice pitch.
Gee. Got a 135 average batter, shortstop at 68, and we got a shortstop. Well, we got a shortstop that can hit.
He can hit, and he can field. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand what the big slam is against the guy.
Al Kaline.
Al Kaline?
22 games first base in 1968.
When he was rehabbing or something? Or?
Well, they hadn't fit him in the lineup because he had the other three guys.
That's a bit... Well, geez, what are you winning? What are you losing? Because Cash could hit from the left side, right?
Yeah.
Right. All right, and Kaline hits from the right side, but...
So they played Kaline against the southpaws.
Yeah.
Well done. Okay. Well, I mean, you're not losing anything. You're not gaining anything. You're not losing anything on that one. You know, because really, if you have the power, what did Mickey Stanley hit that year?
Yeah, it's like, let me go back.
God, did anybody hit in that year?
I know,
Mickey Stanley hit, 259. Mm-hmm.
And you brought him in, well, I guess it's like 120 over the shortstop you normally had when they brought him in for the World Series.
Your highest batting average of your regulars was Kaline 287 and Horton 285.
Really? God, I would have thought they would have been the 290s.
This was 1968 with the...
mushy ball?
I mean, yeah, pitchers were dominant back then.
But still...
I mean, think about Bob Gibson.
Yeah, his run average was just over one that
year.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, man, you got two 280s and then a bunch of 270s. I mean, you could win with that.
Listen to these batting averages against for the pitchers. McLean, 162. Lolich, 114. Wait a minute, is that the...
Is that their own batting average?
Yeah, it's team batting. Okay, let me go team pitching.
I'm impressed that McLean hit that much.
Let's see if it says here.
As we're putting in the stats already, we see that Drummond isn't doing very well this year. Okay, fine, who cares? Next.
Drummond? Oh, no, man. No, see? You would think Drummond would be practicing his free throws.
No.
Even though he's gone up from 42% to 60%. No, now he's practicing shooting 200 three-pointers every day. Now the guy's going to... Now he thinks he's Steph Curry.
No. I'll give a scratch.
You know, you would think that a guy that's so dominant near the back, you know, the basket.
Yeah.
He'd be practicing down there, and then because he's going to get fouled a lot, he'd be practicing his free throws.
But he's afraid of the paint anyway, so doesn't kind of really matter.
So now he's thinking, well, I'm going to be a Dirk Nowitzki and start shooting three-pointers.
Yeah.
Really?
Nope.
Andre?
Nope.
Come on.
You're not paid for that, dude. Get in an elbow with Blake, you know?
So if you shoot 200 three-pointers...
And misses 190.
What good is that going to do your team? Because number one, if you're shooting the three-pointer...
What do they say?
Who's going to be there to get the rebound?
Blake.
Okay.
How many 270s did they hit?
Not a whole lot. The team whip was 1.12.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
But what was team batting average?
Team batting average. Let me go up there. 235.
What?
Yeah, 235.
How do you have the team batting average?
Non-pitching total, not pitcher totals, 243. Different era than we've gotten used to.
I was going to say, you had nothing but firepower. You had Cash that could hit it. You had Northrup that led the league in grand slams. You know, you had K-Line. You had, you know, and it was 243?
Your team OPS, excluding pitchers, 717.
How the hell? Wow, I mean, really, you look at it from that lens.
The team batting average was 235?
Yep.
Well, you got to remember, Oilers batted 130. Magic was 200.
Yeah, but K-Line was 280-something.
The left side of the infield averaged 150. And that's the backups. With the backups.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, but then again, you got Gates Brown hit what that year? I can't believe he wasn't higher than 270. Like Gator.
Gates Brown hit 370 batting average, but he was not a regular player.
Okay.
He had 104 plate appearances.
How many home run?
Probably five.
No, I mean, you stroke them.
Home runs?
Yeah.
Six.
Not bad. Wow.
Yeah, he only batted 100 and some times, so he couldn't have had but a handful.
Your home runs, leader was Horton, 36. Freehand and Cash had 25.
Okay, that's smacking.
Northrup hit 21.
And how many grand slams?
21. That's so it seemed.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you really thought of him as hitting. It's really who hit in front of him? Everybody.
Huh?
You know, was he cleanup or was K-Line cleanup?
No, K-Line was third. I think K-Line played third.
So who hit second? Cash? I mean, if you got McAuliffe, Cash, K-Line, that's a hell of a 1-2-3.
You know? I think it might have been Northrup hit second.
Oops. Really?
Yeah.
Then how did he get all the grand slams?
That'd be later in the game.
But even then, so you would have to have this pitcher on?
Uh-huh.
How many times did the pitcher make on base?
Or Ray Orler got on.
Well, it'd have to be
Oiler. Well, it was three times he got on all year.
Oiler would have had a gun on. Your pitcher would have got on. One of your first two dudes would have got on. And then he smacked it. So what's the chance of that happening?
Unless Mickey Stanley bat a second.
He did sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but, regarding John Hiller, he was 25 that year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he got into how many games? 39 games, 12 as a starter.
12 as a starter?
Because when John Hiller came up, he was considered to be a starter.
He lost his job.
Not strictly a relief pitcher at first.
He lost his job to Joe Sparma?
Well, I mean, he was 25 years old. He'd just come up and, you know, spot starter and reliever.
What was Joe Sparma? 6-8?
10-10.
10-10.
26 years old. He had the highest ERA of any of the starters.
Yeah, it was crap. But
his ERA, let me find it here, was 3.70.
Wow. All right, so you had...
Different era.
You had K-Line. You had McLean, Lowlich, Wilson, and then Sparma. Pat Dobson on in between, because I think they rotated Sparma in and out. I don't really remember.
Sparma started, Dobson started 10 games. Hiller started 12.
Sparma started how many?
31.
Really?
Yep.
He could have been 31 zip.
Yeah, Darryl Patterson started one.
Darryl Patterson.
And Les Kane started four.
Les Kane, good bless.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't the highest? I thought he, if anybody was going to be a bad pitcher, it had been Les Kane. You know?
20 years old that year.
Les Kane?
Uh-huh.
I mean, Les Kane and Gates Brown, you know, in their junior high school play, their role was the alley. I mean, they were dark. You know, holy crap, that's the only thing I remember about Les Kane. Did he manage?
No.
Les Kane?
I don't think so, no.
Maybe his brother, Moore Kane? Okay. Well, who knows?
How about Lida Kane?
Or his son, Lorenzo Kane.
Oh, very nicely done. Or his Tahitian brother, Hurricane. There you go. Thank you.
Or his cousin, Cole.
That addict, no. He doesn't show up anymore. Hold on, though. Mark's thinking, Kane. His Oriental brother, Tai Kwan Kane, for you Kung Fu kids, from the show.
And the blind member of the family, White Kane.
Ah, very nicely done. There you go.
I'm thinking.
I know you are. We're going to be all the air, really.
Yeah.
Which Leaf player had the name Kane? You know? But we don't even have to worry about that. What we have to worry about is Ken Pocket. What did we not talk about in one whole minute?
Oh, hell, we didn't talk about this whole book here. Oh, my God.
No kidding. I mean, talk about a whole book. You don't even have to do anything next week. Jeez, we got this.
Holy cow.
Yep.
You know, we got this one story here, though. It's CAC of the Week number 2, Richie Incognito. Okay. He funeral home. He's talking to funeral home staffers, started yelling at people, going nuts, said he had guns in his vehicle, was going to shoot people. Then they actually found guns in his truck.
Who is this guy?
Richie Incognito.
He's an offensive lineman. He was for Miami, now he was an offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills.
That's not
guard.
He has a history of being kind of a.
That's what I thought of being an outlaw, wasn't it? Yeah, that's the guy we need to sign on our team for $30 million.
He abruptly announced he's retiring from the Bills.
That could work out dandy. Obviously, hanging around Co too much.
I think we need to give him a special weekly award here.
Yeah, we'll give him one. There you go, for disrupting a funeral. But who never disrupts a funeral is our sport director, Mark Melchek. Mark, what didn't we discuss in one whole minute?
Well, NBC Sports Channel is going to be showing 96 regular season hockey games.
That's not bad. They do a good job, you know.
Yep. 40 of them will be on Wednesday night, and 21 of them will be doubleheaders.
Wow.
And the Blackhawks will be on a season high 19 times, which
Why?
I really don't understand.
Why? They weren't good. They didn't even make the playoffs.
Nope, they didn't make the playoffs. Nope. Well, maybe
they're going to play the Yankees 19 times.
Maybe.
I don't know. But your Detroit Red Wings will be on 6 times.
It's 6 too many.
And my Maple Leafs will be on 6 times.
Really?
Which is
fitting.
Way more than they ever have been on NBC Sports Channel, because they usually just show them like once or twice. So
because they traditionally sucked.
No, because NBC Sports Channel is an American station, so they usually show American teams. But this year, they've decided to...
How did that happen? They played Montreal. I mean, they showed Montreal a lot.
They don't show Montreal on NBC Sports Channel. They usually show TSN usually shows, the Canadian teams and stuff like that. But this year, the Maple Leafs will be on 6 times, maybe because they signed Johnny Tavares. Maybe that's it. I have no idea.
You know, the really weird thing is that for folks who are just coming into showing hockey, they do a decent job showing a hockey game. Nobody beats Hockey Night in Canada.
No.
Nobody will, nobody can. There's only two places that ever did it. The original Monday Night Football showed football like there was no tomorrow. You know, they knew how to broadcast the game. Even with the original three guys in the booth and stuff, camera angle-wise and all that stuff, it was the best ever of any sport ever done. You know, Hockey Night in Canada, extreme closely second. Nobody could do a hockey game. And as many people who tried, like on Versus, when that stupid channel came out.
Or Pass.
Well, that
was Pass. Turned into Versus, or Versus turned into whatever it was.
Yeah, but then that was second, double-A ball.
Right.
I mean, all your local Fox Sport, I mean, they do a functional job. But boy, oh boy, I'm trying to think who, maybe baseball with Kurt Gowdy, on Saturday.
Yeah.
They knew how to do a game, but they seem like always National League games. Right. I can't think of who did a better job in baseball than NBC at that time, when your Saturday night or Saturday game of the week.
That was okay if they showed a lot of National League games, as long as they showed the Reds.
But it seemed like in the afternoon, they always seemed to show L.A. or they showed San Francisco.
Yeah, right. Always L.A. Yeah. They always had to have Vince Scully with it. It's like, look, all right, we get it. You know, does the rest of the world get Ernie? You know, the guy showing Detroit? You know, it's kind of fun to watch him. And bless YouTube that you can see the beginning of Mark the Bird come up. Because I totally forgot about that season. And so did many, many others. But boy, when you see Old Tiger Stadium, I mean, and this guy was lighting it up, and he was doing fine. Talk about you never see that in sport again, in baseball again. Yeah. It was a genuine dude who had talent, you know. But it always seems like Detroit gets these really great guys for 2 years, and we can't latch on to them because they always screw themselves up somehow.
Yep. You know? Yep. See, we need somebody that can, you know, talk to a baseball or, you know, talk to a hockey puck or something.
Talk to a baseball and strike out somebody with a wicked slider.
Yeah.
You know, and back it up. Right. I mean, he can back it up. You know, we need another free spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as Fuller was supposed to be it, you know, you should probably have talent behind you to be a free spirit.
Well, you know, I think if Norris had put it together, he'd have been a fun guy to watch because he's kind of quirky. But with all the injuries and crap and his control problems, he ain't looking too good right now.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah.
You know, but way to go, we got to go. So,
It's bedtime. It's time for us to go.
That's right.
To bed and go get some sleep.
No, it's time to go watch the Tigers play.
That's what I said.
Yeah, oh, time to go to bed. Well, yeah, that too, but. Yeah, it's time for the Crickets.
God, I mean, really. Can you sit through a whole game? I know you can. Now, you have this strange ability that you can do that with all sport. My hats are off to you. I don't know how you do it.
I'm so glad now that the British Premier Soccer League is back playing, so I got something to watch on Saturday mornings now, because other than that, the only thing else is on is SpongeBob.
Well, I haven't been able to make a whole Tiger game for about a month now. I can't do it.
Is that for me?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but you go. That's the South of Comerica Park.
Yeah, you know, everyone know. Mark's got this wonderful ability to look at the TV's on, but you can't tell, is he awake or is he just snoozing in that position? I mean, there could be no burglar that could ever bust in your house, you know, because they go, "Oh, guys, they're watching TV. I can't get in," knowing that you're just like,
yeah, they could be looking through the window. And I could be staring at the TV and it'd be like, is he asleep? Is he not asleep?
It's amazing. Sometimes your eyes are open and you just ain't there. And it's like, okay. And we move on.
He's not there. I've been told that a couple of times, but, you know, that's okay.
Okay, well, talking about a couple of times, we got to go, man. We're way over. Anyways, so for the Super CPA, Ken Pocket, and our sport director, Mark Milicek, John Sarver says, we will see you again next Tuesday. See ya.
Bye.